You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
There were people who at one point in their lives said, oh man, that's crazy. I ain't getting involved in that. I'm not going to be bound by that. Now they're participating. What changed their mind? They saw that it reaches a vast number of people. Now, again, I'm not putting it down. I'm simply trying to illustrate how the world has slipped into the mind. Now, watch this. If we were to have a regimented year of Bible study, I can guarantee that that particular discipline would be met with great resistance, more resistance than Facebook. And even if we are going to go on it, Instagram, Twitter, all that, if we're going to do it, why shouldn't all of our conversations be about Jesus, not about us? Why are they about us? Why are they about the restaurants that we went to? You might say, oh, Pastor, come on now. You're doing the same thing those people did in the 50s. No, I'm not. I'm trying to get you to see how patterns of behavior form. They usually start out with the assumption of innocence. I was standing on the street corner when I was 14 years old, and I was with some friends, and my buddy, he pulled out a pack of Tijuana Smalls. Now, they were the first blunts of the day. They were miniature cigars. Now, I came up with a hatred for smoking cigarettes. Didn't want to smoke. Only had one cigarette my entire life and didn't smoke all that because I couldn't stand the taste of it. They didn't even have a filter on them. But it was cool to stand on the corner and smoke Camels. And so my buddy is standing there, and my mind immediately went back to that day at Edgley and Dolphin and smoking that right in front of that AMP. And me and my buddies, and I said, oh, this is horrible. And I just kind of flicked it away. And then standing on the corner later, and my buddy says, man, this got a plastic tip on it. And he started holding it in his mouth. And it looked good. Now, my mind says this is wrong, but I like the way it looked. So I smoked the Tijuana Smalls. Then I bought a pack. And I convinced myself it made me look cool. Then the devil helped by having the girl say, oh, you look so cute with that. Then I knew I had to get a pack. And so I walk around the street, that thing in my mouth, hey, what's happening? How you doing? Right? She didn't even have to light it. Because I was concerned about what others thought. Most of what we do is out of concern what others think. Where does that come from? Our thought lives. We have become exactly what the world is. And there's no stopping it. Because the devil has convinced us that it's no harm. There's no harm in doing that. And the Christian looks at life through black and white lenses. It's either sin or it's not. If it's not sin, I could do it. But Paul says, just because something is permitted to you doesn't mean you should do it, or else you will offend somebody else. Jesus said, if our minds are spiritual, we can do great things with our minds. Now, the devil has tried to pervert and pollute that concept by giving us all types of satanic tools, transcendental meditation, you know, all that stuff, right? To pervert what God has given to us. Paul says, be transformed. From what? The world. How? By the renewing of the mind. Look what he says. Don't let the world pour you into its mold, but be transformed from the world. How? By the renewing of the mind. Thy word have I hid in my heart, in my mind, that I might not sin against thee. How does the word get into your mind? Listen to me very carefully, then you draw the conclusion. It is proven that you recall 85% of what you hear and say simultaneously. But you only recall 65% of what you see. I ask again, how do you get the word into your mind? Mutter it. See it and say it simultaneously. Watch God now. This is how I know God is a psychologist. He told the children of Israel in the Old Testament to put the word on their heads, and they would carry what's called a phylactery. In the phylactery were scriptures that they could pull out and read and say at the same time. God knew that the brain was able to retain what it sees and hears at the same time. When you mutter the word of God to speak it while you're reading it, watch the devil. You were told when you read in school, don't say what you're reading. And you were told, don't use your finger. Remember? Teacher would come over and slap. Don't read that way. And you, when you read, they don't just read it. Use your mind. No. When you speak it, you retain it. My style of learning, I'm audio attentive, which means I don't have to look at you, but I have total recall of what you say. When your hearing was developed in the womb, it has literally tens of millions of nerve endings. It's the only part of your system that has as many nerve endings as it has. Your eyes don't have as many as your ears. In fact, your auditory system is the first one developed when you're in your mama. Because God knew the link between hearing and mind. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Why does the devil try to keep you from mind change? Because if he can keep your mind from evolving, he don't care about your spiritual walk. Go on, praise the Lord. Run up and down. Have a good time. Recite scripture. Just don't get it in your mind. 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 I was 18 years old when I joined the Corps. I can stand here right now and recite everything to you my drill instructors gave me in boot camp. Why? Because they made us say it 15, 16 times in a row. I can give you my laundry number, my rifle number, the maximum effective range of an M16A1. I can tell you exactly my rank structure back in those days, who the Secretary of the Navy, the President of the United States, the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. And here I am, 32 years old, and I can tell you exactly what was given to me back then. Why? Because they said it. My mind was changed. But see, the mind of the Christian is weak. Here's how you know, because our behavioral patterns aren't changing. Behavior is changed from the mind. Victory starts here. Paul said, cast down things that are contrary to Christian thought. But we're becoming a part of the very culture that God wants us to be separate from. Because our minds have not been saved. And even if they are saved, we backslide every time we go home and turn on television. I started out watching Murder, How to Get Away with Murder. I thought it was going to be a good show about young people going through law school, who are going to be taught how to defend guilty people. It turned into a cesspool of sex. I stopped watching it. Stop watching it. When she was engaged in a form of sex that shouldn't be on TV, I turned it right off and went right back to MASH. Barney Miller, Things That Make You Laugh, Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon. You can't watch shows that promote behavior that God is against and then stand up and say it's wrong. If it's wrong, why are you watching it? Laura's sleeping with Bill, and Bill is sleeping with Jane and Jack. And you're going, that's a shame. She didn't know he was gay? Boy, I feel sorry for how? The devil's got your mind. And then here's what's going to happen. When you become desensitized to homosexual behavior on television, you're going to become desensitized to it in your natural life. Because there's nothing to say. Your brain doesn't know it's television. Your brain says, what you feeding me? Story about three gay men living together who love each other and they just are ostracized by the community. That's a shame. And you are just feeling compassion for them. Your brain says, oh, we feel compassion for this. Okay. Then you see some ones that are in real life and your brain says, oh, we feel compassion for this. Okay. It doesn't know they were acting. You know. But your brain is like, okay, that's what you're letting in. That's how you want us to feel. Okay. It's like the Catholic guy. The Presbyterian lived in a Catholic community. And the Catholics wanted him to become a Catholic. So every Friday he was making steak. And they smelled the steak. And on Friday, that's fish day. So a team of them got together and came to his house. And they said, you're living in a Catholic community. And he said, but I'm not Catholic. And they started having Bible study with him, and he converted and became a Catholic. And right after he converted, the next Friday, they smelled steak again. And they went over to his house, and they said, excuse me, John, you're Catholic now. He said, he says, y'all come with me. And he took him out to where the steak was barbecuing. And he pronounced these words. He said, just like I was converted and became a Catholic, I convert this beef into fish. It's all up here. The Jewish rabbi went into the butcher shop and he said, I'll have three pieces of ham. The rabbi says, the butcher says, you can't have ham. You're a rabbi. He said, oh, that's right. He said, give me three pieces of turkey. But he pointed to the same thing. The butcher said, no, that's not turkey. That's ham. He said, you call it what you want to call it. I'm calling it what I want to call it. It's mental. In other words, we justify whatever we want to in our mind. You can be involved with someone that you should not be involved with, but in your mind, you justified. I ain't being treated right at home, so this person is treating me right. And no matter how much of the scripture you hear, you're going to be all right. Because in your mind, we can choose to dislike people. In our minds, we can justify it. They didn't treat me right. The Bible never says that treatment has to be reciprocal. He says we're supposed to take the high road. We're supposed to show love even when they show foolishness. But it's mental. Look what he says. He says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will prove what is good, perfect, and acceptable according to the will of God. In other words, I can't know the will of God till my mind is renewed. And my mind can't be renewed until I pull away from the things that suck it back into ungodly behavior. We can give up liquor, we can give up cigarettes, but we can't give up Hollywood. Listen carefully. I'm not beating people up. Like I said, I'm not putting anything down. I'm just lifting up Jesus. Do you understand that when you have a passion to see a movie that's greater than your passion to come to prayer? There's nothing, don't you see something wrong with that? When you can stay out of church to go see, you know, a fictional country in Africa. Again, I've never seen it, and that's just my personal belief. That's not my style of stuff. But I'm saying there is nothing made that will make me put it before God. All I'm saying to you, Bethel, I'm not putting down what you do. I'm saying think about why you're doing it. Are you bound by it? I just have to do this. I have to have my coffee every morning. Do you have to have it, or have you convinced your mind that you need it? Now, I got you both ways in that one. Because if you have to have it, then you're addicted. And because it's an caffeine is like nicotine. You're just as addicted. But I've never seen a line for deliverance from coffee. There have been lines for deliverance from drugs, but no lines for deliverance from coffee. Maybe you're addicted to chicken wings. And you just have to go down the street and get 2 dozen every week. See, I'm only asking because when the devil knows your levels of addiction, he can easily supplement it for something else. So Paul says, undergo the renovation of your thinking processes. If you think you can't make it without a man or a woman, you're going to slip and slide into relationships as often as you change your socks. Because you've convinced yourself you need somebody. And when you convince yourself that you need somebody, you'll settle for anybody. You won't have a marriage. You'll have a mental settling. You'll stand there at the altar with the preacher and say, whew, finally got him. Whew, finally got her. But there'll be no commitment because once the mind... Once the mind has what it wants, it goes on to something else. It looks at you as a conquest, then it starts looking around for somebody else. He's looking for some play now. See? And then once you get that one, he'll look for something else because the mind is undisciplined. It wants what it wants when it wants it. As 1 John says, the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the mind jumps back and forth from one to the other. So there's no satisfaction. There is never any feeling of being full. So Paul says, you got to learn to be content. Notice, learn. What are you doing? Telling your mind, this is all we have, and this is what we're going to make do with. This is not to suggest that we don't have ambition to do better, but it is to suggest that we're sober in our thinking. You can't look at these shows on HGTV at $1 million house and salivate when you're only making minimum wage. Now watch this, because this is important. If your mind is in discipline, it will filter into your prayers. And then you'll start asking God for things that he never intended you to have. And your prayer life will suffer because the mind is lusting. I read where a preacher bought his wife a $200,000 car. And his argument was, well, she stood by me when we were broke, so I'm going to get her a $200,000 car. How does that say thank you? But notice what happens. We do the same thing in our lives. We think that when we buy somebody something, that is supposed to be an act of repayment. So in our minds, what has that proven to us? That money is the answer for all things. Now, Solomon does say that, but he's saying it in a sarcastic manner. He is saying we have brought ourselves to this conclusion that money answers all things. And I'm here to tell you it doesn't. I start my series of physical checks. Last week, I got my blood work done in preparation for seeing all my doctors. As I pushed the panic bar to get out the door, I said, God, I could have all the money in the world, but good health is much better. What good is it to have $20, $30 million and you stuck up in intensive care and can't get out? But our minds have been geared to thinking, well, if I got $20, $30 million, I can buy the best doctors. Paul says that we must undergo a metamorphosis of the mind, a changing of the mind. If you go over with me to Ephesians chapter 4, he continues this thought in a very personal way. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you from this moment forward walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. See, their thoughts are so dark that it's guiding their lives. Dark thoughts guide our lives. Here's a question. Why is America so in love with criminals? We love gangster movies. We love movies about the mafia and people who flaunt the law. We love it. Why? Why? Because in the back of our minds, we wish we had the courage to tell the cops where to go. We envy what we shouldn't have. We desire what God has forbidden. And we become part of the very culture that the Lord told us to leave. And we justify it by saying, it's not a sin. No, it's not a sin, but I shouldn't do it. One day when I was very young, about 5 or 6 years old, I remember coming from a deli with my brother, and we had purchased these little hoagies, a little sandwich. And he and I were walking up the street to go to the house to get our sandwich, and our dad had given us the money, and we were coming back. It was only half of, in the middle of the block is where we lived, and we were coming from Dolphin Street, walking up 16th, and we were walking up the street, and by the time we got home, I inhaled my food. You do that when you have older siblings. You see, because they come over and they bully you and take your food. And so, like, my brother would sit there and just kind of wait to see what I'm going to eat. And so I had to eat fast. And so I devoured my sandwich. By the time I got home, Daddy was sitting outside, and he said, where's your sandwich? And I said, oh, I ate it already. He took me aside. He didn't hit me, but he taught me. He said, listen, my sons don't eat in the street. He said, you have a house to live in. It wasn't that it was wrong. It was just he didn't want it. And that's what God is saying. There are things that the world does that I'm not telling you it's a sin, but my children don't do it.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
Renovation of the Mind.
Or the program number
01219A.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.